Our text will be Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 20, 21, and 22.
If you found that, could you stand?
Hebrews chapter 11, verses 20, 21, and 22. I'd like to read these verses in your hearing and then ask God's blessing on our time together. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. And then finally, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. Amen. Our Father, we need your help. Lord, we rejoice with birth. We rejoice in life. We rejoice in successes and blessings. And I pray today you would help us to find real joy in the death of a believer.
Yes,
and real joy in our own death as a Christian.
Yes.
But we need your help. We need you to help change our thinking. The sanctified mind that you've given us, would you now draw near and meet with us in the scriptures? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you. You may be seated. We're continuing on with our subject of faith that pleases God. Faith that pleases God. Now, you will remember that as we have looked at the earlier verses in chapter 11, we followed the life of Abraham, right? The Bible has given a lot of attention to the life of Abraham. And we learned from Abraham and his family last week that by faith, we must obey God's call to leave. God calls at times for you to leave that which is familiar, right? And he doesn't always give you a lot of details. He just says, go. Now, I talked to you before. We're not looking for the earthquake or some earth-shattering experience. Sometimes God just brings a still, a sweet conviction over your heart that it's time for you to make a change. And you're sure that you've heard from God. Don't fight that, right? He didn't tell you anymore. Well, we've seen in Abraham that he works that way. There's times that God calls for you to make a change, and he doesn't tell you a lot, right? By faith, Christian, we can obey him. We learn from Abraham. And sometimes God is calling for great sacrifices. You see, you and I cannot bargain with God so that I'm going to obey you, Lord, but I want to move from this to the same kind of situation over here. You see, if I'm going to leave this job, I want a job just like that, with equal pay, and you know how we can do. No. If God is calling for sacrifice, you and I have to be willing to make the sacrifice, right? We've learned that from Abraham. We also learned, as we looked at Abraham and his family, that by faith, we must trust God for miraculous power to do his will. We learned that from Sarah. Sarah was way too old to be getting pregnant and having a baby. But God said he planned for that to happen. Sarah believed God, and the Bible says she received power, miracle working power to enable her to conceive. This is way beyond anything natural. And I say to you, my brother, my sister, you and I have to accept the fact that there are times we reach our physical limitations and we have to depend upon God to give us miraculous power to do his will. We learned from Abraham also that we can die in faith without losing hope when the call of God does not meet our personal expectations. This is another thing. Every one of us, if we're going to be honest and not disingenuous, when you obey God, you have expectations.
That's right.
You say, if I do this, you don't may not say it to anybody. If I do this for the Lord, I expect this.
Right.
If I'm a good employee, I expect to be treated what?
Fair.
But it doesn't always work out.
That's right.
Right? If I'm a good citizen, I expect justice. But it does not always work out that way. Right? And so you and I can obey the call of God and not lose hope when it doesn't work out the way we thought. You see, I thought my family was going to turn out different. You see? Oh, I thought if I devote myself to ministry, surely God would understand and would take care of this, you know, this situation over here. I thought surely God would take care of my job. I'm faithful in the church. But I got fired just like everybody else. You see? So we can obey God and not lose hope when our personal expectations are not met. We also learned, and this is important now. Y'all follow me. I'm just trying to do a little brief review. We learned that you and I have to contemplate and meditate on heaven so that as we are doing God's will, we don't have regrets. You see? Because there's always going to be problems. There's always going to be issues. And if I'm looking to be happy in this world only, then I'm always going to be unhappy. God says to every Christian, the greatest joy and happiness is not in this life.
Amen.
Right? It's in the next.
All right.
That's when it's going to be blissed and wonderful and more than eyes have seen and our heart can lay hold of. And so you and I have to, you guys, times when you're alone, you got to think about heaven. And not just your issues and your problems and your failing health and problems with the family and problems on the job. You got to think that this will be over soon. Right, Christian? There's a reason that God tells us about heaven. And there's a reason that he tells us so much.
Amen.
And so we've learned these truths as we've looked at Hebrews 11, 8 through 19. Today, we're going to learn more about this kind of faith that pleases God from the lives of Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And it's really interesting. The Bible talks about these three men, and it only talks about their last days of life. Isn't that interesting? You would expect most of the time if God's going to be bragging about how you lived, that he'd be talking about all the wonderful things that you did along the way. No. God wants us to realize that he's not only concerned about what you do when you're young and you're strong and you're powerful and you were so busy in church. God wants you to know he's looking at you all the way to the end. And he expects every Christian to be faithful till you breathe your last breath. And I know we don't talk about this a lot, but I'm just following. This is one of the benefits of doing expository preaching. You just preach whatever comes up next. All right? And so you and I are going to talk about facing death today. So you may not be shouting, and you may not. I hope you will, though, before we're done.
Amen.
I mean, obviously, death brings sadness because of the loss. But there's also great joy.
Yes.
That's the thing that God wants us to see. All right. For the Christian.
Yes.
You understand? For the Christian. You ready? All right, let's look at this then. What I did is I took these three verses and I divided my thinking up this way. We're going to talk about facing death while blessing others. from verses 20 and 21. And then finally, we'll look at facing death while planning for the future in verse 22. Let's begin. The first thing I notice in verse 20 is that a Christian can bless others in spite of your own sin. In spite of sin in your life and in your family's life. Everybody has sin. But we have to learn to bless people anyway. Anyway. There are no perfect Christians. Nowhere. No time. Anyhow. And so you and I can't keep wallowing in our weakness and failures and miss the opportunity to bless someone. All right? And so we find here, as we look at Isaac, what I call blessing others in spite of sin. Now, Isaac and his family, y'all, anybody knows the story of Isaac? Isaac and his family had some problems. Now these were God's people. But Isaac and his family had some major sinful problems. You know, Isaac himself, just like his father, was fearful. When he thought that his old skin was going to be, when he thought he was going to die, he took his wife and he said, "Honey, you're going to have to lie for me. And you're going to have to save me." You see, and he, just like his dad, let his wife become a negotiating pawn and to save his life. And then he found out that God says that's not good, Isaac. God had to rebuke him just like he would any one of us. But he had a problem with fear and compromise. Y'all know, if you know the story of Isaac and Rebekah, you know that the Bible says that Isaac loved one of his oldest son, right, Esau, and Rebekah loved Jacob. The Bible is very clear about that. And the Bible is very clear that is ungodly. Amen. For parents to have favorites. Right, Christian? Amen. No parent should have a favorite child. Amen. You know what I mean? Favoritism over another. But that's exactly what Isaac and Rebekah did. Isaac loved his older son that was outdoorsman, right? He's a hunter. He's a manly type. And so that's what Isaac loved. But Rebekah loved Jacob because Jacob was a mama's boy. You see? Now, there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying. With the unique affinity. Each child is different. There's nothing wrong with that. But you don't pick one over the other just because you like what you see. This one lines up with my affinities, you know. So y'all understand what I'm saying. This is really a serious sin for any parent, is to be partial toward one of your children because of the way they are, because you like this or that. So they had that was a major problem in Isaac's family. He had a problem with irreverence in the children. Esau was a rascal. And if you know the story, you know that Esau reached the point where he didn't care about trying to respect his parents or anything that they desired. Okay? But the favorite son, Jacob, was a deceiver. He's a schemer, a plotter. But now this is the family of faith. Yeah. Y'all need to understand what I'm saying. There are no perfect families. There are no perfect Christian families. All believing families have problems. Now God's bragging on this family. You get it? That's what you got. By the time we get to the New Testament, you can't forget all of these real problems that are going on. Okay? And so we find Isaac... with this issue, and yet Isaac believed, he still believed that by faith, his family still lived by faith in spite of all these problems, and they trusted God. So, Christian, I'm saying to you, don't be cast down because you and your family have some issues. All family do. You may not see them. You may not understand them. But every family has got issues. Trust me. Yet the Bible says this family still live by faith.
Amen.
And they trusted God.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
This is amazing, isn't it? I'm telling you, God is amazing. It's amazing that he still uses us in spite of our issues. Isaac believed, now here's what I want you to get. Isaac believed that God would keep his promise through his sons, even though one was sexually immoral and the Bible calls him irreligious. He was a perverted sexual man and he cared nothing about religion. Now that's what Hebrews 12:16 says about Esau. But the other son was a deceiver, a schemer. You get it? But Isaac said, God is still faithful.
Yes, he is.
These are the only two sons I got. And if God says he's going, he promised to do something, somehow God's going to work it out through these two boys. I'm telling you, this is faith, Christian. And this man is at the end of his life and he can't see. He has no idea how God's going to work it out, but he still believes that he will.
Amen.
I hope you're following this.
Yes.
Now, let's look at the account real quick. Hold your place there and turn back to, can you find Genesis 27? If you're not familiar, for those who, I don't want to leave anybody behind. Because Isaac was partial toward Esau and Rebekah toward Jacob, when Isaac was old, he's losing his sight. Isaac decided he wanted to get at least another good meal from his favorite son, Esau. Right? You know the story? So he told Esau, I want you to go out and hunt, kill some game, come back and fix me my favorite meal, then I'm going to bless you before I die. Right? And so Rebekah over here has this little plan. And so the wife says, ha, no, you ain't going to bless that rascal. You're going to bless the favorite son. See, I mean, she didn't say it that way, but that's the whole idea. And so Rebekah decides she needs to help God out. Now, God has already said that Jacob's going to be the blessed son.
Yes.
But you see how we do. And so before you go judging Rebekah, you know, think about some of the little things you have done to help God out. When it wasn't happening just quite as fast as you thought it would. And so she comes up with the scheme because now, my boy ain't like that rough boy. So she's got to do something to make Jacob like an outdoorsman. So y'all know what, she went and got this animal skin and put it on him. Because you know that Isaac, he can't see, but he can smell and feel. And so she put this animal skin on him and he went in to, oh, by the way, Rebekah even went and cooked. She went and cooked a meal. Gave it to Jacob and said, take this in to your dad, and then he'll bless you, not Esau. You know, sorry? Okay. So that's what we're picking up the story right here. In verse 26. You got it? Genesis 27, beginning at verse 26. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near and kiss me, my son. So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, now you understand why he smelled him now. He wanted to make sure that this is, I can't see him, but I want to make sure that this is Esau. He said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. Now, you understand that Isaac thinks he's blessing Esau. You got it?
Right.
Verse 30. As soon as Isaac has finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, Esau, his brother, came in from hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it in to his father. And he said to his father, let my father arise and eat my son's game, that you may bless me. His father said to him, "Who are you?" He answered, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it in to me? And I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed." Verse 34, as soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an extremely great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing." Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." Then he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Behold, I have made him lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him as for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Have you but one blessing, my father?" You get to feel the pain.
Yeah.
Even though he's, it's like Judas, it's not regret, it's just selfishness. Mm-hmm. "Bless me, even me also, my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of the heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck." And then finally, verse 41. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." That's what happens with partiality and favoritism. Eventually, it's going to lead to hatred between the children. Okay? So, but now, you understand? This family's got problems. But this is a family that trusts God. This is a family that's living by faith with all of this mess going on in the household. Now, I'm not justifying anybody's problems. You understand that. I am saying that everybody has to face your own issues. Don't let your issues wind up like Isaac. You see, do something about it. If you see it happening, do something about it now, because you see what the end result is. Right, Christian?
Amen.
But I say that as we leave this point. This is the thing I want you to remember. By faith, we believe that God is faithful even when we are weak and in our sin. Right? Psalm 105, he is faithful to all generations.
Yes.
We believe that the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. So, not only can we bless people in spite of our sin, we can bless people in spite of our suffering. You go back to Hebrews 11, and now we're going to look at Jacob. In verse 21, it says, "By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff." Now, if you'll remember, I just told you a little bit about the life of Jacob. But you know, Jacob was a man that suffered a lot. Jacob and his family suffered a lot. Because of what he had done to Esau, Jacob now had to live in fear of Esau. You remember, know that? For the majority of his life, he was afraid. And his mother, now she put together the scheme, and she knows that Esau is going to kill him just as soon as he gets opportunity. So his mother now has to, you know the story, send him away to live with her brother. And his mother, now look at this. The mother never saw her favorite son again. She died, never saw him again. You cannot sin and just think that there's no consequences. Now that's serious, isn't it? The son that you, quote, love, because you wouldn't, you know, correct this sinful behavior, now it's like God says, "I'm going to show you something. You'll never see him again." And so Jacob had lots of suffering You know, he went to live with his uncle, and his uncle was, you thought Jacob was slick? You thought Jacob was slick? It's like God says, okay, I'm going to show you somebody that's slick. And he went to live with his uncle, and his uncle tricked him over and over. And you know, I can't go through that whole story, but you know how he did. And he kept Jacob there for a long time, lying to him and deceiving him. So he suffered there. And then, you know, after that was over and he finally escaped from his uncle, then the famine came. You remember that? And they had to suffer through the famine. And then, of course, you know, look at more of Jacob's family. Y'all know what happened to Joseph, his brother. Remember that? Joseph, the brothers hated him because he got another case of what? Favoritism. You see, Jacob didn't learn from his dad. He should have learned. He should have said, I saw what happened in my family. When my mother favored me and my dad favored Esau, now my brother wants to kill me. But he went and did the same thing with Joseph. And all the other brothers hated him just like the same. You see, my brother, my sister, you cannot repeat sins of families. If you keep repeating them, they're going to get worse. The situation is going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And so Jacob's family suffered. They suffered. And Joseph, the irony of it is that while he was alive, again, I don't want to be presumptuous. If you don't know the story of Joseph, you know that his brothers hated him so much, they sold him into slavery. Y'all know that? Went into slavery. Pharaoh was the king of Egypt. One of Pharaoh's captains in his army, Potiphar, bought Joseph, brought him into his household. Joseph was such a faithful man. He put him over all the affairs of his household. Potiphar's wife, Joseph was a good looking man. So Potiphar's wife saw him, and she wanted to have sexual relationships with him. Joseph resisted. She lied and said he attempted to rape her. You remember? Got thrown in prison. People forgot him down there, but God didn't forget him. Raised him up, let him interpret a dream. Now, not only is he over Potiphar, Pharaoh puts him over all of Egypt, right? Because God, when God favors you, you don't have to fight for position. God will put you where he plans for you to be. And so he put Joseph in this position, and lo and behold, one day he finds out who has got to come to Joseph for help now. Same brothers that hated him. You don't have to let God fight your battles. Amen. Yeah. He'll bring it back around.
Yeah, he will.
Amen. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
The same ones that hated him now depend upon him for life.
Yeah.
And you see, so Joseph, while he was alive, Joseph took care of his family in Egypt. But the fact is, even though Joseph took care of them, Jacob and Israel were going to suffer a lot in the future. So here's my point. I spent a lot of time trying to develop these because I know that some people may not be familiar. But you need to get this point. Even though at this point, Jacob is about to die in Egypt. Don't miss this. He left the promised land because of the famine. Now he's in the enemy's land. He's about to die there, but he still believes that God will keep his promise through his grandson.
Amen.
This is faith. Yes. You see, there's nothing that Jacob can look at that would make him believe that God's got something to work with here. Everything around. So faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. The evidence of things not seen. It's not because he saw it. It's because he believed that God could do it anyway.
Amen.
We walk by faith, not by sight. That's what you're seeing with these men. They're not looking. You see, Isaac can't look at his family and say, oh, my family is so great. That's the reason it's going to work out. Isaac looks at his family is a mess, but God's not a mess. God can take this messy family and still do what he plans to do.
Yeah.
Same thing here with Jacob. My family is a mess. We got caught in this famine. I compromised. Now we're here and eat. All of my family is in a place where we're probably going to be slaves. Mm. And they were. Uh-huh. You know the story, for a long time.
Yeah.
But this man died saying God's still going to pull it off.
Yeah.
That's faith.
Yes, amen.
Faith. God will do everything he plans to do. And so, real quick, flip to Genesis 48. I don't want to presume on anybody. You got Genesis 48? Now, by the way, y'all do know this is really interesting. God chose to show you Jacob's faith with his grandsons, not with the 12. Because you know, right after this incident, he's still going to bless the 12. Mm-hmm. No, God says, I want you to see what he did with his grandson.
Amen. Come on.
He went beyond the next generation. He went all the way to the generation beyond that to say, God's not only going to take care of my sons, God's going to take care of my grandsons. Uh-huh. That's faith.
Amen.
All right? You got Genesis 48? After this, verse 1, after this Joseph was told, behold, your father is ill. So he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, and it was told to Jacob, your son Joseph has come to you. Then Israel summoned his strength and sat up in bed. And Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you. And I will make of you a company of peoples and will give this land to your offspring after you for an everlasting possession. Verse 5. And now your two sons who were born to you in the land of Egypt, before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine, as Reuben and Simeon are mine. And the children that you fathered after them shall be, yours. They shall be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. As for me, when I came to Padan, to my sorrow, Rachel died in the land of Canaan on the way, when there was still some distance to go to Ephrath. And I buried her there on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. When Israel saw Joseph's sons, he said, who are these? Joseph said to his father, they are my sons whom God has given to me here. And he said, bring them to me, please, that I may bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so that he could not see. So Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face. And behold, God has let me see your offspring also. This is amazing, isn't it? Because y'all know that he thought Joseph was dead. Because that's the lie that the brothers told him. Then Joseph removed them from his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand and laid it on the head of Manasseh, crossing his hand. Now he can't see.
Right.
This has got to be the Spirit of God at work here, right? Crossing his hands, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys, and in them let my name be carried on and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Amen. That's amazing. That is amazing. That this man of faith says, God is not only going to take care of my children, he's going to take care of my grandchildren, and you can't see it. Because everything around us saying that we're going to die right here. There's famine in the land. There's nothing to eat. We had to come here because the promised land is not a place to live. But I believe God's going to take care of all my family and get them back to the promised land. Get them back to where they need to be. And so here's the deal. For everyone, by faith, we believe that God is faithful even when our present and future circumstances are filled with suffering and difficulty. You cannot look at what's going on and think that this is the way it's going to end up.
That's right.
Not if you're going to live by faith. Mm-hmm. Faith is able to perceive things that are not seen.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Right? The evidence or the conviction of things not seen. So when we say my God causes all things to work together for good, now you either believe that or not. But if you're going to walk by faith, you have to believe everything is working together. All of it. It may take a lot longer than you think. You may never see it.
Hallelujah. That's the thing.
That's what I'm telling you here. They died and never saw it. But they never doubted it. God's going to pull it off. God, they knew God is going to pull it off. And so, I wanted to remind you of those two things before we look at this. As we looked at Isaac and Jacob, and see that you can bless people in spite of sin in your life and in your family's life. You can bless people in spite of what you're suffering, in spite of what your family has to suffer. And then finally, I want to demonstrate to you from the life of Joseph that you can face death while planning for the future. If you all remember where we started, I told you that this is a problem even among Christians. A Christian should not be the person who's not planned for death. It shouldn't be that people in the world do better planning for death than we do. You hear me, Christian? We're people of faith.
That's
right. Why would we let the world do better planning than we do? If we're going to trust God with our children, with our grandchildren, right? So, let's take a look at this last example of faith that the Bible holds before us. You got verse 22? Hebrews 11:22. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. Amen. And so, even though Joseph proved to be a man of faith many times during his life. You all know that, right? I've told you the life of Joseph. He trusted God when he was in Potiphar's house as a slave. And even when the wife, who you know, he knew this wife can cause me major problems. But he denied her pleasure. He said, how can I commit this sin against God? Right? And so Joseph, he had many times that he lived by faith, but you notice that the writer of Hebrews highlights the end of his life as evidence that he has faith in things not seen. He didn't mention all of these other events in Joseph's life. He goes right to the end and say, Christian, I want y'all to look at Joseph, and I want you to learn from Joseph how to live as people of faith who can handle things not seen. At the end of Joseph's life, he was fully confident that God would deliver Israel from Egypt, even though he'd never see it. He was just as confident that God was going to do it. He didn't doubt it one bit. God is going to pull it off. Hold your place. I keep saying this because if you have to talk to people about this, I want you to know where it is. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 24. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will visit you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. That's a man of faith. He knows he's about to die, but he wants his people, his family left behind to know God will take care of you.
Yes, he will.
The Christian needs to leave the faith legacy with your family. The family doesn't need to see the Christian dying and struggling and just like anyone. We can't leave life that way. We have to demonstrate that we are people that live by faith. By faith, Joseph was making plans for his people after his death. And I say this for every one of us. By faith, we know that when we've done our best to take care of people in our life, we can trust God to take care of them after our death. You need to listen to me. If you've taken care of them by faith when you lived, you can trust God to take care of them by faith when you're gone. That's what you see with Joseph. That's what he's telling you. People, right now, I know you all are in Israel. But God is going to take care of you, and he'll bring you out. I won't see it. The next generation may not see it. But God is still going to do it.
Yes, he is.
So you see, every parent had to pass that faith on to their children because they were in Egypt a long time. A lot of people lived and died before that promise was fulfilled. So you had to have parents who were passing that faith on. I'm saying to everybody here, you have a responsibility to pass that faith on to your children. So, making plans for other people, and then finally, making plans for yourself. After Joseph ensured that God would take care, ensured his family that God would take care of them, then Joseph made plans for his own burial. I wonder how many Christians are thinking about that. Joseph made plans for his own burial. His burial plans also proved. Joseph wanted to live, die, and be buried as a man of faith. I hope that's what you want, Christian. You don't just want people to know you live by faith. We want people to know that you died by faith. I want my funeral and burial to be evidence to folks that this was a man or a woman of faith.
Amen. Amen.
Funerals are to be gospel opportunities.
Yes.
We don't have funerals as people of no hope.
Amen.
Christian, our funerals are to demonstrate to everybody present, this man or woman died in faith.
Yes.
And there's reason to have good hope now.
Yes.
Right. That's right. His burial also proved that he had faith in things not seen. You don't have to turn to it, but verse 25, he told them that when they left, he wanted them to carry his bones with him. This brother had faith. By faith, the believer can make his own funeral plans in the will of God. Now, I know I spent a lot of time addressing that, but I want you to really think about it. I really want all of us to think about it. You know, sometimes you watch these military movies, and when someone's on the front line or they're about to go into battle, you know what they'll do? They got a prized possession. They'll leave it with someone and say, give this to my wife or my children, right? Or my family, right? Or they'll leave them with special instructions. If I don't make it back, would you please make sure my family knows this and this and this? That's the sign of someone that loves their family. They want to take care of their family if they die. Many wise people make wills, right? Last testaments. Why do they do that? Because they want people taken care of after they die.
Right.
And by the way, Christian, this is between you and the Lord, but I wonder if you got a will. Y'all do know that in the country in which we live, this country cares nothing about what you own.
Right.
You see, God expects a Christian to take what he's given to you and you pass it as an inheritance to those, that's biblical. Pass it as an inheritance to those whom you would, God would give you wisdom to pass it to, not to let the state do whatever they want to with it. And so I would encourage every one of us to make sure you fought through that matter. It's very biblical to make sure that what God has given you is used properly and biblically. That you've done your best to leave that inheritance according to the mind and the will of God. Okay? That's what you see in every pattern we've looked at today, and that's what you see in the pattern throughout Scripture. But now, the believer is dependent upon... These people are all dependent upon other people, right? To take care of the message or the possessions. The believer isn't dependent upon people. We are dependent upon God. God is the faithful one. God is the one who will take care of our people after death. Faith and grace are necessary for the believer even as he dies. Regardless of the trials, the tests, and the failures of life, the believer should be able to die in faith, fully trusting God with the future. Believers can trust God to bless our children. Believers can trust God to bless our grandchildren and many generations in spite of our sin, in spite of their sin. We cannot look at our children's sin and assume that God won't bless them. The man that wrote most of this New Testament, I'm sure his parents never would have thought that Paul would be used this way by God. You cannot assume that what you see in your children right now is the way it's going to be. So by faith, we trust God to bless our children, our grandchildren, and many generations in spite of our sin and their sin and all other circumstances. All right, as I close. Now, this is, I know this has been sobering. Okay? Amen. Now, here's what I want you to do. Close your Bibles, and I want you to think for a few minutes. What have you learned from Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph today? Questions. Have you done any planning for your own death? Next thing for you to think about. Can your children, grandchildren, and other relatives easily see that you live by faith, even though they know you're weak and you have your own failures? Do people in your family know that he, she still loves God and is a man, a woman of faith? They ain't perfect, but they live by faith. The people around you know that. It should be no secret. No one should be surprised. No one should be surprised to find out that you're a Christian in your family. I'm telling you, it shouldn't be. It should be obvious. Next question for you to think about. By faith, have you made provisions for your family to be taken care of after your death? Like Joseph, have you made any plans for your own funeral and burial so that you can live, die, and be buried as a man or woman of faith? Now you say, I don't care about that. What I'm showing you, the Bible says that these examples are given for our what? Learning. We are to learn from the examples of the Bible. And God demonstrated, and if you're not convinced yet, I'm going to convince you before we're done. You don't have to take Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's example. Jesus did it. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. I'll show you in just a minute. Have you made any plans for your own burial? I certainly hope that your answer is yes. I've given some thought and made some plans for my own death by faith. I got something to say to you. Everybody here needs to remember this. Everybody. Everybody needs to remember this. You don't have to be old to die. You hear me, Christian? Don't procrastinate. Don't keep putting off what you know you need to do. The mind of man plans his way. But what? The Lord directs his step. God expects us to plan. And he'll direct. That's the reason he gave us this sanctified mind. If you have not given any thought to plans of your own death, I would exhort you today to remember that God not only wants us to live by faith, he also wants us to die by faith, looking forward to things not yet seen. This is exactly what we see Jesus doing as he prepared for death. He made plans for his own disciples before he died. At Gethsemane, did he not? He prepared them all along the way for his death. He just like Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, did the same thing. He was thinking about others and blessing others for his death and afterwards. On the cross,
Amen.
Jesus made plans for his own mother to be cared for after his death. On the cross, Jesus made plans for me and you.
Yes, he did.
Thank you, Lord.
All before he died. All before he died. And then made plans for his own death and burial. None of it happened by chance. Christian, living by faith means following the Spirit, the will, and the Word of God as you live and as you die. This is intended to be a sermon for us to think. We must follow Jesus in life and death. My brother, my sister, will you agree with me that we can all face death by faith?
Amen.
Yes?
Yes?
And you let God work out those convictions in you. If you're not a Christian, then I'm asking you the same question. Have you made any plans for your death? Because if you're not a Christian, you're going to die too. Question is, have you thought about what will happen after you die? If you're not right with Jesus, if you don't have your sins forgiven, then your future is filled with misery and pain. But you know it doesn't have to be that way, right? The Lord has come and he's made provisions so that no one has to die and suffer. So my friend, if you've not surrendered, if you've not submitted your life and your heart to Christ, you can do it right now. You can do it right now. You see, I've been talking about physical death. But my friend, the Lord wants you to have life.
Yes.
You don't even know what living is if you've not come to Jesus.
Amen.
You don't know what it means to be alive. And so I'm asking you today as we bow to pray, if you are not a Christian, would you ask Jesus to help you believe? And he will. Our Father, thank you for these few minutes that we had together and thinking about this reality that many avoid. I thank you for giving us the example of these three saints of old who were willing to face death by faith and hold before us an example so that we might know how to make preparation for our own death. You know where we are this morning, and you know where we need help. And so I'm just asking you as we bow together now to not only bring a real conviction, but help us to be faithful so that no one in this room
would face death unprepared. We're so thankful that you've not only taught us how to live, you've actually taught us how to die. And we want to live by your will and die by your will. You are blessed forever and ever. And for this, we give you thanks. And then, Lord, as I end this prayer, I would ask you, would you save someone so that they might know what it means to be alive in the Spirit? Save one today. In Jesus' name we pray. Every saint of God said, amen.
Well, all right, as we...